Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh.
Nate Collins with us every Wednesday on the show. He knows. He knows that pressure is ratcheting it up. He knows he better turn it around quickly or it's going to get ugly here in Chicago. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. We're going to get to Bears-Lions coming up in a quick moment here. Sam, you said that you saw something during the break that you wanted to make sure that we hit on before we dive into this game.
Almost fell out of my chair on a Friday morning. Okay. So
I could tell.
I saw this from Ben Fox, who does a really good job with Yahoo and shares a lot of information from the books across the country. I don't want to take away from the room, which we're going to do later in the show, but he just put out a list of the most lopsided week two NFL games at BetMGM. Title sponsor. 87% of the money in week number two is on the New England Patriots. Going right back to it.
This is not in the Boston area. This is just 87% of bets nationwide are on New England. That's funny. I don't have an opinion on that game. I have no opinion on that game. I feel like I'm on an island because everything I consume is, and it seemed divided. I've heard many people, maybe it's because I talk to you a lot, that are on the Miami side, but 87%. What did you see? Oh, that's just a Miami fade, right? It's got it.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I've heard all week. It's just this anti-Miami, anti-Mike McDaniel. Dolphins are going to pack it in. Dolphins will quit. I watched every snap of that Patriots game. They blow. They are a bad football team. And I wish people luck betting New England in week two.
Okay, so I sort of cheated because you freaked me out. Like I mentioned, I was driving around all day, so I didn't see that all the losers you don't want to be aligned with were in on the Commanders yesterday. So they seemed like a public dog. And I was worried that there's a public dog this week because I'm lining up with a lot of dogs, as you'll hear during our breakdowns. I did not see a public dog in the top five. I'll just say that. I didn't take a look at who's really popular. Are they minuses or pluses? They were all minuses, and I kept it moving, and we'll go over it later. So I was happy to see that.
Okay.
Man. 87.
It's all Vrabel.
87.
Vrabel's going to fix everything.
Do it again, huh? I also am not on Miami, but I understand why. I understand why. All right, let's break it down. Yeah, he's worth how many wins? Four and a half, apparently. He won four games last year. They set it at 8.5 for this year. Chicago-Detroit. This is a game that I know that you have a side on, and I'm willing to be convinced, but I am concerned about one thing that I want to talk about. So we've got the Lions. They get blown out. We've got the Bears. They also lose at home Monday night, short week for them. It has been a lot of Lions action this week. It's 4.5 early on, and now we're sitting 6 everywhere. I see a 6.5 popping in the market. Tell us what you think about Lions-Bears.
Well, I really wanted to get to Chicago. Did not bet it yet. Did not pull the trigger. Did not even pick it on any show yet. I want to get there so bad on Chicago plus 6. But then you watch Green Bay last night, and you're thinking, wow, maybe Green Bay's really, really good. And maybe Detroit is just a lot better than Chicago. Like, you're trying to do the transitive property here. Like, you watch Green Bay dominate Detroit, and then you're like, wow, what's wrong with Detroit? But really, the answer might be, oh, Green Bay's better than the market even thought, even though they were one of the top teams on the betting board after the Micah Parsons trade. It was hard to get there on Green Bay. But maybe Green Bay is just that much better than Detroit. And it doesn't mean Detroit's necessarily bad. It's just Green Bay's really good. John Murray, also our friend at the Westgate, told me that some of his sharpest guys laid 4.5 and 5 on Detroit. I heard that and thought, nah, I'm good. I do lean to Chicago at 6. I do, but I did not get there yet. We have to pick 5 in a lot of things that we do. I have a pick 5 that I have to put in the next 12 hours or whatever. I'll probably wedge Chicago +6 in there, but I don't feel great about it. So I thought, look, Ben Johnson, smarter than Dan Campbell, yada, yada, yada. But then I'm just like, I see this push on Detroit. And I don't know. I don't know if I feel like betting my hard-earned money on the Chicago Bears in week 2.
Here's the challenge. See, I find the Detroit side so much more challenging than the Bears. I think we can come up with a reason, or I feel like we know more, even though it's a new coach, new play caller on the Bears side. It's the guy that was in Detroit. So you got revenge. Is it a double revenge? Whatever you want to call it. Like, the revenge on both sides. Like, Detroit wants to beat Ben Johnson after he leaves. Ben Johnson wants to beat his old team and show, like, I'm the reason you're going through these struggles. Like, there's a lot of that. You can argue both sides of that. It doesn't really matter to me. They look so bad. But, like you mentioned, is it a product of the Packers, or is it what the Lions are now? Everything goes through the run with this team. When this offense in Detroit is humming, it starts with the run game. David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. Those two guys averaged 2.1 yards per carry last week. You've got to have more success. I question what this offense is going to be. I question OC John Morton. And he's asked this week about the run game struggles. I believe it was yesterday. And his quote to the media is, it's an easy fix. An easy fix. Again, not in panic mode. Didn't ask if you're panicking. John Morton sounds like he is. Like, he's repeating, well, it's an easy fix. There's some heat on him this week. If his offense does not put up points against this Bears defense in the cozy confines of Ford Field, like, there's going to be a lot of questions asked. Like, maybe it was all Ben Johnson and even Aaron Glenn. So that's why I think Detroit is so difficult. I understand the idea of a bounce back. We were talking to Dave Richard yesterday from CBS Sports on fantasy angles. He's big on the Lions this week. Now, he is a Bears fan at heart, so keep that in mind. So he's doubted them throughout his entire life. That might be part of it, but he's expecting a bounce back. Going home, awful performance last week, they're buying in. The problem with me is I've questioned Detroit all offseason, so I don't know that it's going to bounce back. But, like, let's not forget, the Bears were supposed to win that game against Minnesota, a team that we have a lot of respect for. Watch out for this injury report. Jalen Johnson seems like he's a go. That's big, going up against Amon-Ra St. Brown. So it looks like Jalen Johnson is good to go. Linebacker T.J. Edwards, he was limited on Thursday. Grady Jarrett, Kyler Gordon did not practice. So they could be missing a couple pieces on the defensive side. It's not Lions for me. I'm not laying 6 with having all these questions on this team. It's Bears or pass. And, you know, man, another argument that you've brought up, Sam, and I think it's fair. Caleb ran a lot more than I was expecting. Like, maybe some of it was running for his life against those Flores blitzes, but he ran more than I thought he would. And that's where the Bears in the past have had some success, keeping games tight in recent years against Detroit, because they do struggle against mobile quarterbacks.
If you go back the last 3 years and look at some of these final scores that Chicago's put up against Detroit, 31-30, 31-26. Those are both Lions victories, but close ones. 31-30, 31-26, 23-20. The Bears won a game in Chicago, 28-13. That was like December 2023. The Bears were catching like 3.5, and they won outright. So there have been some close games. Fields and Williams have given them some issues. I must also paint the other side. I mean, there was a 41-10 game in there and a 34-17 game in there, both wins by Detroit. But of those six games, four of them were close, and one of them Chicago won. So those are sort of just like baked into my brain. I really don't know what to do. And if that's the case, you just stay away. You just stay away. You don't have to bet it.
I get it. Chicago might make a contest for me. If I'm looking to get to five, or there's one I've got to get to seven, Chicago might make it for me. If we get this is just taking a leap. What if you get to a touchdown? Is it a play then for you? I see a 6.5.
Probably. Yeah, I'd probably bet seven.
Probably.
You're not happy about it.
No, like I just sound defeated already. Like I know what I'm getting myself into.
Right. Certainly. All right, let's go to the Giants and the Cowboys. We've got another NFC divisional matchup. This one is, let's call it 5.5, because that's the number we have at BetMGM. But the rest of the market isn't there. Most of the market is at 5.5, but I see a 5. I see a 4.5 as well. These are kind of dead numbers. Not the biggest thing in the world until we get to that number of 6. This has been what you could call an overreaction. The look-ahead number was 3. It opened, I believe, momentarily at 3, and it's been all Cowboys. It's a mix of, okay, the Cowboys were not that bad in that loss on Thursday against the Eagles, and oh, the Giants. You got to get Russ out of there immediately, but Daboll announces that he is going to start this game. Russ, 17 for 37 against a poor Commanders secondary, only 168 yards. Is it going to be Jackson Dart's game? Is this the game where he enters on the road? I think it is certainly possible. The Cowboys, they were hurt by the Lamb drops. I'm not expecting that to happen. A late Sanders red zone fumble. I don't think that's going to happen again. Dak actually looked solid in his first time playing football in quite some time. Dak destroys the Giants. He is 13-2 straight up against them. Those two losses were when he was young. It's when Eli Manning was still under center for the Giants. They have not had a good quarterback since that time. Dak is great against the division. The thing about the Cowboys is they beat up on bad teams. The Giants, right now, they look to be a bad team. They're definitely a bad team with Russell Wilson under center. I understand why this jumped to 6 and we're sitting 5, 5.5 right now. Dallas, both of us like them in Survivor. I'm going to mix it up. I'm not going to do that thing where I go all in on a team like we did with the Denver Broncos last week. But I'm definitely going to have some on Dallas. I'm not taking the Giants. I am a little concerned about mid-game. Maybe Dart enters the equation. They get some spark, and you end up covering the 5.5 or 6, whatever number we end up here. But, yeah, I think Dallas wins, and I would definitely throw Dallas in a moneyline parlay.
The guys that told us to bet the Giants week one are telling us to bet the Giants again in week two. These are the guys who bet numbers, not teams. They bet 6 with the Giants. They also bet 6.5, 7 last week, and it never felt like it had a chance. These guys they're bullish on the Giants. Remember the guys when we first started working together? They were bullish on the Browns, and I think the Browns went 1-15 that year, and they kept betting the Browns every week. This is what happens. Wise guys bet bad teams, and they are on the Giants again. I did it last week. I really don't want to do it again.
I'm not.
So it's a pass.
No chance.
It's a pass. Yeah, I mean, like, look, they could easily cover. But the 6s are gone. Now it's 5.5. MGM 5.5. A lot of books have 4 or a 4.5. Same thing as last week. The good numbers are gone. Now you have to take a bad team at a worse number, and I'm just not going to do it.
The Cowboys defense, without Parsons, Eberflus, the coordinator, they did a nice job on A.J. Brown last week. So if they can keep neighbors in check, this game is not going to be in question. I could see a blowout. I could. Russ is that bad. The Giants are that bad right now. Neighbors is frustrated. He's saying it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. I don't know. I'm not buying what he's trying to sell us there on that one. So There you go. No, we'll get to Carolina, Arizona coming up. Also, some key AFC matchups. I have an opinion on Seattle, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. Of course, we'll get to the Patriots and the Dolphins as well. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats. You've got the BetMGM Network. It is a football Friday. We're getting you set for the weekend. Don't forget, Kelly in Vegas will drop by 11 a.m. Eastern. I'm sure she'll talk about her Broncos and her stress level over the weekend, but I know she's got a lot of college football plays as well. You've got Bet Sweats. This is the BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, full NFL breakdowns. Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats on a Friday, a football Friday. All right, we're feeling better. We're feeling better. We're not worried about it. We're thinking it might be a dog weekend. We'll get to that coming up. What is this picture you sent with the pile of Parmesan cheese?
So my buddy brought the kids out for pizza last night, and they went to get New York slices. So they're the big floppy slices, and his daughter, who he says, I mean, he obviously loves her to death, but he said she's a weirdo. So she eats things like ketchup sandwiches. She's a child. I mean, she's very young, like 4 years old.
Yes.
She takes this New York slice, and you know how they at the restaurants, they have a red pepper shaker and then a mozzarella cheese shaker, and they have holes in the lids, and you very conservatively put mozzarella or red pepper on your New York slice. Well, his daughter unscrews the lid on the mozzarella and then goes upside down vertical with it and just covers this New York slice. I mean, you see the picture. It is a layer of mozzarella cheese on top of the New York slice. And then she goes to town on this pizza. I mean, I would never, but they say kids do the darndest things, don't they? You would know.
With condiments or seasonings on food, they are on one end of the spectrum or the other. They are like my son who puts nothing on anything. It's plain. I'm just happy he's actually, you know, eating different food now. But last night, okay, I want a double cheeseburger. All right, cool. Do you want anything on it? Nope. Wants nothing on it. No ketchup, no mustard, no pickle, no tomato, no mayo, nothing on. Are you sure? Oh, no, you know what? I do want something. What do you want? I'm going to cook up some bacon. I was like, okay, you can put some, but as far as condiments, nothing. And then like I see some of his friends that come over and when they leave, I'm like, you're going to leave any money for the ketchup? Because you use the whole Heinz 57, everything we have in our fridge, like half of the paper plate was ketchup. I'm like, what? One end or the other? It's one or the other.
Oh, can never trust the kid. You can never trust the kid that eats the plain hot dog. That kid cannot be trusted. I'm sorry.
That's my son.
You eat the hot dog plain. cannot be trusted. I would rather you put ketchup on the hot dog than eat a plain hot dog. But then again, it's not my hot dog. Like, I don't tell people what to do. I wouldn't do that. He also adds, I know we need to get back into football. He also adds, he took his daughter to Olive Garden last week, and the waiter said, say when, and she would never say when. So the guy's cracking the cheese. Like, he said she will literally never say when. So they have to stop them. They have to say when for her, because if it were up to her, it would just be nonstop. It'd be a 30-minute crank on the cheese wheel.
Order a bowl of that. I'm sure it's much cheaper. Like, it hurt my ketchup. Soul.
Yep.
It hurt my soul the other night. Oh, yeah, he wants it at Portillo's. He wants a 2 hot dog meal. Everything on it? No. Plain. It annoyed me. I'm not eating a damn thing. I say eat what you want, but cannot be trusted. I think you're spot on there. All right, let's continue with these breakdowns on the games. Let's flip over to the AFC, have some games that we want to hit on. We've got Jacksonville at Cincinnati. So we saw money early on in the week backing the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think that was a big surprise. Bengals are the home favorite. It's still 3.5. So we saw that immediate move, 5.5 down to 3.5. It's been 3.5 all weekend, has not really budged. It's a higher total. We're sitting 49 over at BetMGM. There are some 48.5, some 49.5 in the betting market. ETN, big performance under Liam Cohen in his first game against Carolina. It's tough to figure out how much you take away from that matchup with the delay and what looks to be a poor opponent. Cincinnati, however, it looked like the same old Bengals. They stink in the beginning of the season. They should have lost to the Browns. Burrow had 113 yards. They only had 11 first downs. This explosive Bengals offense had 11 first downs against Myles Garrett and company. I say, yeah, they still stink. The trend continues in the first couple weeks of the season. I didn't see anything from Cincinnati last week that makes me want to back them -3.5 against Jacksonville. I'm taking the dog. I know Paul's on the Jacksonville side as well. Do you have a play in this game, Sam?
I like the over 49. Other books are on the way to 49.5, 50. Cincinnati just played in an absolute rock fight. They got drugged down into Browns ball, 17-16 final. And it's always difficult when you have Cleveland in your duet to get over, because Cleveland just does nothing that wants to incite a fireworks show. They want to play games like that. Cleveland dictated the physicality, dictated the tempo. They were very good around the red zone. That's a 17-16 final. And I have Burrow in fantasy. I'm like, he had how many points? Well, I'm not winning this week. But now you look at the way that this game should go and probably will go. We're going to get somebody to set the pace early. We're going to get a big touchdown or two. And I think it's very telling that despite playing in a rock fight last week, 17-16, the books open this total, 49, and now we're 49.5, and I think there's a good chance by kickoff we get to like 50. So at 49, that's an overplay for me. Some books are 49.5. I shouldn't need to remind people, 49 is a multiple of 7. So if you like the over, go get that 49. I do think this is like a 31-28 type game, and I do like points in Cincy.
Okay, so let's move to Pittsburgh. We've got Seattle going across the country, visiting Pittsburgh. The market's at 3. I see one very public book that decided to add the hook there where it's Pittsburgh -3.5. Low total. Interesting. Pittsburgh in a shootout last week. The market is not going to overreact, and the total is sitting at 40 over at BetMGM for the Steelers and the Seahawks. That was shocking, the score of that game with the Jets and the Steelers. Rodgers had a great performance, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he's going to be making his home debut against a very challenging Seattle defense. Now, Seattle had their issues offensively last week against San Francisco. It was all JSN. It was Darnold for 150. JSN had 124 of those yards, 13 targets. 13 targets for JSN in his first game with the new QB. I've heard some cases for Seattle. I am not there. I am on the other side. I am going to be taking Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh -3. I think they're a candidate for survivor. It is not going to be a repeat of what we saw last week with that Jets offense. And you're going from a mobile quarterback with multiple weapons that are pretty dangerous in Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson to now, okay, we've got JSN. I don't know about Walker. Are they going to decide to use Walker in this game? Not sure. Expecting a bounce back. And history tells us that's exactly what Tomlin teams do. Evan Abrams had this nugget. After Tomlin teams allow 30 or more points, 28-11-1 against the spread. Cover rate of 72%. They've covered 10 of the last 11 times that's occurred. I'm taking Pittsburgh -3, Sam.
We did Pittsburgh in one of our survivors. Got there last night. So Pittsburgh is in. I have 3 entries. I guess I could give you all three. I don't know why I wouldn't. Like, it's fine. Pittsburgh in one, Miami in the second, Buffalo in the third. Yep. I got him there on Miami. I couldn't get him there on San Francisco, so we went Miami instead. He likes Miami.
Okay, you got Miami, you got Buffalo, and you got Pittsburgh. No Baltimore. Yeah. So this is one specific survivor. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think I could say it, right? It's the Circa Survivor.
No, I'm saying your partners. Survivor. Is this the one with the 108 guys?
Oh, 108 guys, they're doing Buffalo. They want to do Buffalo. Okay. So I said, fine. Okay. Well, let's just do Buffalo. I'm more of a pushover in that one because there's three of us and they know what they're doing. They won your league last year. Fine. Let's do Buffalo.
Yes.
Matt and I did Pittsburgh and Miami. So I got there. I like the under two in Pittsburgh, but I also followed the guys down the rabbit hole last week and was talking about Pittsburgh under week one. And that game was one of the higher totals on the board, one of the higher landing totals, at least. I mean, that total was 39.5 and just flew over. Pittsburgh almost got there by themselves. I think there's a regression big time on offense in a Pittsburgh game. And look, this total opened 40, and now BetMGM has they still have 40. Other books have 39.5. That will probably crawl down by kickoff, just like it crawled down last week and then flew over. Pittsburgh 24-10, something like that. That's how I feel.
There were some pros out there that took the Miami Dolphins last week, which ended up being the worst side of the week. And now you've got the Miami Dolphins off that awful performance at home hosting the New England Patriots. BetMGM has this as Miami -2.5. The market still hasn't settled as we sit here on Friday morning. There are 1.5s. There are 2s. There are others at 2.5. Somewhere in that range. Not quite a field goal, but we're not at a pick 'em. Somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5. What do you think? Miami, New England.
Well, you know where I'm at. I'm on Miami. Mm-hmm. I actually laid one on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday's show. This entire week is a blur for me. Tuesday was in Chicago. Wednesday was in Boston. Thursday was in New York. Friday's in Boston. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what day it is. Don't ask. But I think it was Tuesday. I gave Miami -1. I would not lay 2.5. I mean, why would you lay 2.5 when there's a 1.5 readily available, -108, -110? Please lay the right number. You know, last night I had a guy send me Green Bay -3.5. And I'm like it won, I get it. But there were threes all over the place. It's laying 3.5. I just don't understand how people don't lay the right number. But anyways, I like Miami. It's a fade on New England. It's a fade on Vrabel. I don't like Drake May. And I don't think Miami is as catastrophically challenged as many people believe they are. Look, they got punched in the mouth by a very physical Colts team. Colts have a very good offensive line. Colts controlled the point of attack. I don't think New England can do that. So I'm willing to find out. Your rec books are 2.5. Other books are 1.5. I think Miami's going to win. I do. I feel very good about it, but it's an anti-New England stance that I had in week one. And I'm not going to change it in week two. I'm not going to overthink it.
Yeah, and on the flip side, if you like New England, go take that 2.5 that's available out there. You want to do that, or if you're doing a teaser, you want to take New England, get them to 8.5. Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Here's my concern with Miami. I'm worried about that secondary. That all that chatter about what Daniel Jones did with the Colts and Steichen changing him and all that, that may have just been a result of that bad secondary for the Dolphins. So maybe Drake May ends up having a good week. And then those Patriots fans that you're close to are saying that he's going to be the MVP or offensive player of the year or something like that. That is a concern for me. I totally get the idea to a bounce back, Tyreek, all that, the turnovers. It can't be that bad. They're going to be better coming at home. It's going to be hot. Sunny, 84 degrees. How many times have we seen that? The Patriots come down from the Boston area and they're playing in Miami in the mid-80s. They got sun on their side, and they're just up against it from the start, and the Dolphins just run away with it. We've certainly seen that in the past, but again, that secondary for the Dolphins is concerning. That's why I'm walking away on this game. And something else, Sam, Tua has dominated this team. 7-0 straight up and against the spread. How about that?
Didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't even know that. That's great. That's called confirmation bias. Right? Mm-hmm. When you, oh yeah. Right? Like, oh, that's a good stat. Trends don't pay the rent, but 7-0 does.
Well, it's worth noting because against everybody else, he's an average quarterback. And then you throw the New England numbers, it's like bam.
I don't think Drake May is accurate enough to take this secondary apart. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I again could be way wrong on this. You know, bigger bets are coming in on the Patriots. Bigger bets came in on the Patriots last week, though. So I like they just believe in Vrabel. People keep convincing themselves that Vrabel is going to fix everything. They're banged up at corner, they're banged up at safety, their D line is not good. They overpaid a bunch of guys that probably shouldn't be making what they're making. And on offense, they have a quarterback that they don't even know is good yet. There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot mm-hmm. of potential. There's also a lot of youth and a lot of inexperience.
0-2 start. Ah, that'll be funny to watch. But can't most wait. Popular over on the win total in the offseason. Most popular overs. Bears, Patriots, very well. Both could start 0-2. On the season. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, we continue. We've got the big games of the weekends. The Eagles and Chiefs, the Falcons and Vikings next. Bet Sweats on a Friday. This is the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Super Bowl rematch coming your way on Sunday. The Eagles and the Chiefs, we're all looking forward to it. Joe O, Sammy P, thanks for hanging out. This is Bet Sweats on a Friday, Football Friday. Coming up in 20 minutes from right now, we are going to check in with Kelly in Vegas on her favorite college football plays of the weekend. Go for the end zone without breaking a sweat with a Pro Football No Sweat token. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets if you don't win, only at BetMGM. All right, you take a look at it now, Sam, and isn't this basically the Super Bowl number that we had, which would make a lot of sense? They're playing in Arrowhead, and it is Philadelphia, the road team, -1 at BetMGM, a total of 47, something that I didn't pay attention to early in the week. I don't love, but I certainly understand why. The scheduling coming up on Sunday. We've got 9 early games, 1 o'clock Eastern kicks. Then 2 games at 4:05 Eastern. This is the only game at 4:25 Eastern. It's going to feel like, you know, primetime Sunday night, Monday night football game with all eyeballs on this one.
What's up with Xavier Worthy? That's where we have to start. You know, I don't think he's going to play. That's my guess.
He was limited yesterday. He was limited on Thursday.
I'm looking at footage right now. He's out there. He doesn't look like he's doing much. I don't think they're stupid enough to like rush him out there if he's not ready. But if he can go, they're going to play him. Now, on Instagram, he put out a post yesterday that said free one. He obviously wears number one. So he wants to play. When a receiver posts free and the number one, what does that mean? He wants to play and they're not going to let him play? I have no idea. But if you think about the way that the Chiefs are shaking out right now, Rashee Rice is suspended. Worthy may not play. He's posting free one on Instagram. So he might not go. Why is Travis Kelce still +170 to score a touchdown? Like, I get it. You got Hollywood Brown, who had a million targets last week. Juju had a pretty decent game. Kelce should not be plus 170 to score a touchdown. And that is the ceiling of the market. There's a 170, a 165, a 150, a 145, and a 140. I like the Kelce plus 170 number a ton. With these other guys out, you go to security. You go with what you know. You go with what works. And for Mahomes, it's all 87 inside the five.
Assuming nothing changes here, this is going to be Patrick Mahomes' 69th home start. It's going to be the second time he's going to be a home underdog. I know it's a slight home underdog. We're talking about a point here, basically a pick 'em, but Philadelphia is still getting that respect on the road. So now look at the difference that the betting market is saying between these two teams on a neutral field. That's a good home field in Arrowhead. A lot of times we kind of poo-poo what home field is worth nowadays, especially certain stadiums. It's not much. Oh, it's much at Arrowhead. That's a different story. So now we're widening the gap. We talked about that earlier on in the show with the Green Bay Packers, how they are in that top four. Kansas City isn't. The market is saying they're a tier two team now. They're a tier two team. So what's happened? We're seeing a response. We're seeing the public in on the Eagles. They saw the Super Bowl, and we're getting the game in week number two. Okay, it's going to be a repeat. Now, things have changed. I didn't like what I saw out of the Eagles' offense last Thursday to start the season. New offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo, he's getting questioned, and he should. Just imagine if the Eagles actually would have lost that game to the Cowboys. What would be going on after A.J. Brown is one target in that game? Everything, any time they were in a bind, it went through Jalen Hurts' legs, where he was clutch and he ends up getting the first down, or they get into the end zone and a gotta have it spot. I wonder if you're going to be able to lean on that as much. Now, we also found out earlier this week Jalen Carter is going to play. We're not getting a suspension. Being ejected from the game, that is serving as the suspension, which I don't think it's right, but it's the rules we're living by. Like, the NFL is basically saying, yeah, we're not sitting Jalen Carter for this game too. That ain't it's a rematch of the Super Bowl. We had this plan for so long. We're not playing that game where Jalen Carter is going to sit for doing something stupid. He had his suspension. He didn't even play. Okay. BS, but I see what the NFL is doing there. Yeah, Worthy's big. Worthy's big. That was a major reason that they ended up losing their season opener to the Chargers. The trip back from Brazil, we'll see how they respond there after starting 0-1 on the season. You were talking about Kelce. Hollywood Brown got the looks. If Worthy is not out there, you're going to be forced to take a look at the Hollywood Brown numbers. He had 16 targets. That's an obscene number. Kelce got a couple of catches, but he was not the target hog that Hollywood Brown was without both Rice and Worthy on the field. I have not made a bet on this game. It's the most hyped game, but I can't say that I have strong opinions. But I'll say this, that I'm getting closer to KC. And if Worthy ends up being out there, I'm probably going to be on Kansas City. Do you think if we hear Worthy is in, that he is as valuable as a point and this would go to a pick'em?
I don't know his true value. I mean, it's definitely you start at a point and then it's hard to get much higher than a point. We do see, though, some sharp books at pick already. I see Circa's at a pick. Offshore Mason's book is at a pick. You know, we could easily see Philly closes the dog in the game. Kansas City money does tend to come in when they're catching points. And you know the stats about Mahomes as a dog. Very, very good ATS. That game you brought up, by the way, when they were dogs last at home, week 6, 2022. Against Buffalo. Buffalo won that game. Just saying. I like the Kelce number, as I talked about. I think plus 170 is way too high, given the fact that there's a plus 140 in the market. Selfishly, I want Kansas City to lose. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bet them at 10-1 to win the AFC.
Oh, AFC.
Everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, man. Well, they're already – I got the market up right now. They are 6-1 to win the AFC after starting 0-1, and they are 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. If they lose this game, the algorithm won't know what to do. And the algorithm will push them out to, I don't know that you double the number again, because KC was like 6-1 to win the Super Bowl, and now they're 12. You're not going to go to 25 on Kansas City, because that's an auto bet for somebody that knows what they're doing. I'm going to guess at 0-2, they'd be like 20-1 to win the Super Bowl and 10-1 to win the AFC. And even though I love Buffalo this year, and Buffalo's my Super Bowl pick, a price is a price, brother. And 10-1 to win the AFC. What if I then get Kansas City and Buffalo in the AFC championship? And I got the Bills to win the Super Bowl and Kansas City 10-1 to win the AFC. Be in a pretty good spot, no?
Of course. I thought you were going to say division. But even there, yeah, now across the board, the Chiefs are a favorite, but they're a slight favorite in the division. That would change. That would change. Like, what if Denver starts off 2-0 and Kansas City's sitting at 0-2? What if the Chargers win again? And you got the Chargers and the Broncos sitting at 2-0. And we'll be waiting on the Raiders result. There's a world, right, where it could be 3 2-0 teams and the Chiefs are 0-2. Then what's that division price? It'll be interesting.
I just like them big picture. When they get healthy, they get everybody back. I think they're going to be just fine. I cannot wait, by the way, for Sunday night. My guy, J.J. McCarthy, Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC, is a 3.5-point favorite at home. Minnesota at home against Atlanta. Atlanta kind of feels like a trendy dog. We were talking about dogs earlier. I have a feeling, wink, wink, the books are going to need Minnesota here. Just be careful going against this kid and that defense. Be careful.
See, I didn't know they were a trendy dog. I want to see if that is, that's actually the case. Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe it was just us like seeing the upside. I thought both quarterbacks looked good in some big spots in week number one. Neither of them have much experience, but I thought they both came through. I want to see what happens with that number. But you're right, the number has come down a little bit. As far as a look ahead, that's interesting. So you have this great Monday night comeback on the Minnesota side, and the number comes down a little bit, favoring Atlanta. People liked what they saw out of Penix. Interesting. Because the look ahead was 4.5. Then it got to 5, and it's been knocked down on the Minnesota side. So 3.5. Man, I hate that hook. I hate it.
I know. So do I.
I want to see if it goes up respect. A little bit. Yeah.
That's respect for the favorite, is it not? I mean, if this was 2.5, that'd be respect for the dog. If it's 3.5, that's respect for the favorite, naturally.
If you're not going to put heat on McCarthy, yeah.
I want to do this. It just came to me. You know, I like Notre Dame to win. How about Notre Dame to win and the Vikings to win? Moneyline parlay, +125.
That is a tough place to win for Atlanta.
That building is going to be insane. Insane.
Electric. It's going to be electric. I think this is going to be a field goal game. You know, like it was on Monday night for Minnesota and they win. But I could see Penix hanging in there. Can you see a shootout where we get over the total here, 44, 44 and a half, somewhere over there? Yeah, possibly. I lean Atlanta, but I don't know that I'm going to get there because I don't want to bet against Minnesota in their home opener. They think they have their franchise quarterback. Those people are going to be going nuts. That's going to be a very tough environment. Uh-huh. KIV next. Bet Sweats.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.